Behind every planner, there's a person. And behind every person, there's a story. Welcome to Planner Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica McWilliams. And if you're finding me for the first time, welcome. We are in the middle of an Enneagram Plus Planner Mashup series. So we are on the type fours today. If the previous three episodes focus on one, two, and three, these are not cumulative episodes. So this series you can hop in and out of. Although I'd love you to stay in this series. If you're interested in the rest of the numbers, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next five episodes. Typically, I have about an hour-long episode featuring someone from the planner community, and we do a one-on-one deep dive into their life and what brought them to the planner community and some of their contributions. This is specifically a two-niche series. For the first part of the episode, you will hear from Chris, our resident Enneagram enthusiast. She's a wonderful vocal performer as well as a friend of mine. So you can find her information if you are looking to hire someone for your commercials, intros, storybooks, audiobooks, whatever you need. You can find her at chrisadamsvoice.com. After she gives us some background on each type, we jump into the interview with two people from the planner community, each representative of that particular number. They share with us some details of how they live with their planner, for their planner, in and around their planner. And yes, if you're from the Enneagram community, welcome to the planner community. We do love our agendas, whether creative or productive or both, and we love talking about it. And then we take a deep dive into how the Enneagram specifically shows up. You'll hear from Chrissy as she says the best way she uses her imagination is to overcome hurdles and obstacles. Pam points out why we need fours in the planner community, and it has something to do with our unstoppable creativity and invention. Enjoy today's show. Here's Chris. Welcome back to Planner Lifestyle Podcast, Chris. Thanks for the last 3 weeks of letting myself and my audience know more about the Enneagram numbers. Today is fours, something near and dear to my heart because I am a four. Would you please lead us into some of the characteristics and all that jazz about the fours?
Yes, wonderful fours. They are referred to as the individualist, the romantic. They are in the heart and feeling triad, and feelings are really important. Let's start with fours and some of their unique characteristics. And they are unique, and that is really important to the fours. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Type fours are creative, sensitive, temperamental. They can dream up ambitious goals. Oh, dreams that are just amazing. And they kind of get swept up in their incredible imaginations. Oftentimes, they never get around to executing the plan of those goals and dreams. But many do. Seeing it through kind of the lens of the healthy, self-aware four, fours have considerable emotional range. They are just so deeply creative, very emotionally honest. They're attuned to beauty. They make wonderful friends, wonderful co-workers and partners. They're very hardworking. They're very generous. Fours can guide you into emotions that you would otherwise never feel. They can hold space with you. They can listen to you and not try to fix you. You rarely ever feel judged by a four. They have this beautiful ability to give you the gift of presence, which is so beautiful. One of the things that motivates the four is a need to be unique and special. They do not want to be like everybody else at all. So when fours are in a little bit less health, they often wrestle with dissatisfaction. Envy is their sin, so to speak. Fours often wonder, who am I and what is my purpose? And they sometimes feel that something is missing from their essential being. Like everyone else got the instruction manual, everybody else got the key to the door but them. And when they're not in a good place, they can be manipulative. They can take a victim stance. They tend to feel a lot of shame just for existing. And if something is too detailed, it can be overwhelming to them and they can procrastinate. But fours really, truly are unique. And something really interesting about fours, and I know a few fours, and I just think this is just really interesting. They talk about them having kind of a melancholy side, the happiness of being sad. They can kind of be naturally drawn to lament, but sad stories don't usually or necessarily make them feel sad. And if they do feel sad, it's one of those feelings that they're like, I'm sad, you know, and Jessica, maybe you can help me with this, but you know, I'm feeling very sad today, but I'm feeling good feeling sad.
Yeah, that's the ideal day of staring out like a rainy window and just listening to some really like lamenting form of music. Like that's like, can I do that now?
Yes.
When can I do that? That sounds fun.
Yes. When can I do it? I love it. You know, oftentimes really fours can deal with feelings better than any other number, especially when they're in a healthy spot and when they've learned that they are not their feelings. They have a way of really letting you be you. And that is such a gift.
Thank you, Chris. And we'll jump into this triple four dynamic here in this conversation. And I'm sure some of this will be popping out at us. Thank you.
Right.
Welcome to Planner Lifestyle Podcast. To my two wonderful fours, I have been long awaiting this episode because this is a full house. We are stacked with fours, as I identify as an Enneagram type four as well. My two guests today are Chrissy and Pam. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and then we'll jump into our planner lifestyle. What are we walking with and where do we plan? Followed by a deep dive into the romantic individualist, core values, fears, and all that Enneagram goodness. Followed by our final thoughts. All right, Pam, welcome back to the show. Owner and operator of Lemon and Honey Studio. You were a guest way back when, and I will put the link to your original episode in the show notes. You were just opening your shop at that time. Welcome back, and I'm so happy to be collaborating with you for this Enneagram Planner Mashup series, but we have a lot of new listeners now, so give your spiel. What's your name, where you're coming from, and all of that stuff.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited to be here. It has been a while. It's been almost 2 years, which is crazy. I'm Pam. I am the owner, operator, soul sticker cutter from Lemon and Honey Studio. Let's see. I do not have any other job besides that right now. Before Corona, I taught group exercise classes at the YMCA. And in the middle of Corona, I am not stepping foot in the YMCA. So yeah, that's my full-time job. I am married for almost 11 years, and we have two little girls. One is 10, her name's Hannah, and she's in fourth grade. And then my almost 8-year-old is Haley, and her birthday is actually tomorrow. And my birthday is on Sunday, so it's like birthday week.
May I share the age?
Yes, you
I'm
may
doing
share.
A drum roll, so I hope you say yes.
Yeah, you can share it.
40!
40! Yeah.
Fantastic. Welcome to the 40s.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Your metabolism stops and you need glasses.
Oh, good.
It's wonderful. It's
everything I've been looking forward to in the last 10 years.
A dream come true. But you know what? With that comes confidence, and with that comes a new sense of purpose and beauty in your life. So it will be just fantastic. I wish you all the happiness and well wishes for your birthday. Are you doing anything fun to celebrate? Like, for example, in the shop, maybe?
Oh, in the shop, yes. I'm having like the biggest sale I've had this year, and it will be like the biggest one of the year, bigger than Black Friday even. So I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess. I want to spend my birthday cutting stickers, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's fun. On my actual birthday, like outside of the shop, I'm not doing anything, which sounds really sad, but I'm not really sad about it. Like, I just want a day to sit and read and not have to do anything, which is dumb.
Well, no, you can just Also, just run your hands over your new countertops that
went in. Oh, my gosh. It was today. Like, they finished an hour ago installing the countertops, and they're gorgeous. So, yeah, maybe I'll just caress my countertops and read a book.
Yeah,
for my birthday.
You know, do you.
Right.
Do you.
Yep.
Oh, well, welcome back to the show. And we also have Chrissy here with us today. Thanks for coming on and joining me for this collab. Chrissy, can you tell us about yourself, please?
I'm Chrissy Grayson. I'm an unlikely housewife on Instagram. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom to my 3-year-old son, Isaac. I am also a bonus mom to a 15-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl. So I'm like dealing with both ends of the spectrum, like teaching how to drive and potty training and girl things in the middle. It's just, it is crazy town over here in stay-at-home mom land for me. I am a former restaurant manager. I used to open Carrabba's all over the country and actually the world and do training for them. And now I just pretty much, you know, do the mom thing, the house thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, lovely. And do you want to share about like what your web, where your current website is and maybe some plans for your future just to kind of...
Of course. I recently started a newsletter formerly known as Plannerland News. There was a copyright infringement with the name Plannerland. It is owned by some other folks. And I renamed it to Planajadora News because I used to live in Brazil with my former career. And Planajadora is actually planner in Portuguese. And it was just a great time of my life. So I chose that name when I needed to pull a name out of the hat. And I am currently rebranding because it still isn't necessarily what I had going with my newsletter, and really reworking on how to do it, renaming it, and making it 100% what I envisioned when I started it.
If this is sometime in the future, please check the show notes because we are going to stay in touch and I will be putting her new branding message as an edited to add scenario so you can find her. But you could probably, you're going to keep your IG handle, right? So
then
you can always, like, as a home base, kind of find you at Unlikely Housewife. Or no, I'm sorry. Did I get it right? Unlikely Housewife. Yeah. And then, you know, branch out from there. I'm sure you'll put it in your link tree and like whatever.
Of course. And it's still up there and like, so I can hold my spot in the IG world, but I'm just really reworking name, concept, and making it a little bit more authentic to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and unique to you?
Yeah.
Yes. Authentic to you? I'm hearing some buzzwords. Enneagram people, beware. Yeah. Well, and that is a fun process, but can also be frustrating, right, when you run into some roadblocks. So I really do appreciate you pushing through some of those restrictions that came out and pushing through to see your vision. You do deserve to have your voice heard and seen for what it is. And I can't wait to see how that all goes. So keep us posted.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's dive into our planner lifestyle portion. It gives us a picture of who we're listening to as we then transition into the Enneagram stuff. Also, I don't know, it's just also fun. Like, I'm also kind of nosy and just want to know the stuff. Chrissy, since you're on a roll, why don't you tell us, like, how long have you been in the planner community and what planner are you currently using, interested in, or staring at on the shelf?
I've been in the planner community for about a year. I came across one of my friend's Instagrams and was like, is this you? And she had the most beautiful planner. And I didn't even know that there was a whole community of people who did the same type of things that I had been doing. So I immediately jumped full speed ahead and purchased every single planner ever known, ever. I am currently in an A5 rings and obsessed with the Print Pression B6 Spiral. And those are the two that I'm, you know, rolling with right now. But to be honest, there's not a planner that you can name that I don't have on my shelf. I just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. I need to touch them all, feel them all, use them all. And I don't really ever really stick with anything. In my bio on IG is like, I'm not looking for planner piece. I want them all. That is my planner piece. I want to touch them, feel them, use them all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so sometimes I'll go out and reach up on the shelf and grab that Hobonichi Cousin because I'm missing that, mm-hmm. that feel. Or sometimes I'll go and find, you know, my PP Weeks. It just really depends on where I'm at in life and which planner is the one that is going to do it for me at that time.
I totally applaud you being able to recognize that about yourself and setting that up for success. I actually wrote a publication, a small little guide called How to Find Planner Peace, the Ultimate Guided Reflection Tool. And one of my first things that I put in there is, what is peace to you? And it leads you through, I mean, like 11 pages worth of self-reflection and journaling prompts and things to figure out what planner peace means to you. You might already have it. You might not mm-hmm. want it. But it really cultivates what you're looking for from this community and looking for from products. And I think you just hit it right on the head. Like, why not just say planner hopping, they call it,
yeah,
is my joy, my jam, and I'm here for it. And just celebrate that. So that's fantastic that you're aware of that already a year in, you know. So
I really do enjoy it. And it's really interesting. I look at my feed and I'm like, oh, that was that EC time. And oh, that was the Aura mm-hmm. Still Cloud time. And you may see one of them pop up again. But, mm-hmm. you know, you never know.
Yeah, you mentioned the print pression B6 spiral.
Uh-huh.
That sounds intriguing to me. I'm like, oh, taking notes already. Usually I take notes during the edit. I'm like,
oh, so cute. I love it so much.
Spiral, because then it's all together. Okay, I already took a note. All right, Pam, why don't we get your answer? So, Pam, how long have you been in the planner community, and what planners are you currently using, interested in, or staring at the shelf?
I have been around since about 2016. I saw a YouTube video when I was searching for like a way to organize my life, and it was all stickering. Like, it was a plan with me. And she was laying down the stickers. And then like 5 hours later, I was like, okay, I need one of these because it was amazing. So I started with an Erin Condren vertical. And I used those for years. And now I'm currently using a MoxiLife vertical. And it is my one true love. And I also use a Simplified Daily for super busy days. So if I just have a lot going on and I need to map out my day a little bit more thoroughly, then I use that. I did, however, just order Lights Planner Action coiled planners. I got two of them. I got one for Christmas, and then I got one that is for the rest of 2020 and then for all of 2021. And I'm not really sure how I'm going to use it, but I really felt in my bones that I needed it. So I got it.
That's what this is. Every other week, I need this so badly.
Yep.
I love the bones. That's where decisions are made, in the bones. I feel it in my bones.
I just know that I feel something for this, and so I must have it.
Yeah, I want to look at that too. You know what? This is me. I have guests on because I'm like, thank you for doing the homework for me. Okay, so too lazy. Okay, so Bess, right? Bess runs that planner action.
And yes, she does.
So there's a Christmas spiral just for Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's so cute. I wasn't sure.
It's so cute. Okay. I got the B6 size, which is not my normal size, but I went with it. And there are coloring pages, and there are pages to, like, insert your own photos. And then there's also pages to plan gifts and to figure out who you're sending Christmas cards to and all of that. It's just, I'm so excited.
It sounds good. I want to check that out.
Yeah.
I think B6 is calling my name because between the PPB6 spiral and Bess's Lights Planner Action Christmas B6 spiral. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting some feelings in my bones.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm having a little bit more direction. Oh, yeah, it would be cool if a planner company, and maybe they did, and maybe actually Allie Edwards already has this, but had a December daily already made. Like,
ooh.
Like, where's that, man?
Or like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving through December, because truthfully, it starts like at Thanksgiving. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah. True. Shopping and cookie making for my household. That's absolutely right, Chrissy.
Yeah.
I told my grandmother yesterday that I was like, Grandma, seriously, when those floor displays of Libby's pumpkin, canned pumpkin, go on display, it's go time. Like, there's no stopping from that point. It's just go, 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 go. And it's like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, and we'll be going until 2021.
So that's cool. We should put that on our radars to find a December daily that starts halfway through November. So what would that
Yes.
be, Chris? What could we call it? A holiday.
A holiday planner.
Yeah, which I feel like, right? Isn't
Well, I mean, not everybody celebrates all those
that's
holidays, so it's kind of like the opposite of inclusive, but
Yeah, specialized. So we have become so open and so inclusive that the whole specialty aspect, I think, maybe is maybe quickly to be judged that it's bad. But in other ways, if we want to do something other special, like if we wanted to have like a Hanukkah planner or,
Right.
you know, then we'd be like celebrating it. So it's interesting as we're trying to navigate these waters, as I don't know the term, you know, is like, can we specialize, or does everything? I mean, pretty soon we're just gonna have like craft paper, brown butcher paper, and be like, it's what you want it to be. Like, okay,
Right.
well, I kind of wanted a Christmas one, or I kind of wanted a, you know, Kwanzaa or Festivus or whatever the heck you want it to be, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I definitely think there needs to be room to celebrate those things that make us unique, that bring our culture to life. With it, and this is of course, my opinion. Obviously, I'm speaking for myself, but like that we can celebrate in, because if we water everything down, then nothing special anymore. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
It's such a tricky road, because of course everybody wants to be inclusive, and these days are far more aware of things that are outside of their everyday lives, and that is amazing, and it should be
Brought up.
brought up and
Yeah, for sale,
whatnot.
available, promoted.
Right. I
Yeah.
mean, I identify as a Black woman, so people around me seeing things and learning things is really amazing, because we didn't talk about all of these things and we weren't so inclusive and whatnot. But on the same token, like you said, it kind of detracts from the things that we hold near and dear, because if you do say, oh, it's a holiday planner, well, there's 20 million people who are like, well, it's not my holiday, but that doesn't negate those of us it is.
Right. And I think it comes down to so finding what does reflect your own values and supporting that and putting your money and your coins there. And sometimes that might be working with smaller businesses, because I think the larger ones have to take into account such huge overhead from printing and shipping, and that they're gonna kind of have to go with these larger swaths of the community. Whereas, you know, maybe, I don't know, 1.5% celebrates the solstice. No, don't quote me, everyone who's out there like, what? We're like so big, or like, I don't know about who
Right.
celebrates the solstice. You know what I'm saying? But like, as a business, saying ho 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 is gonna sell 95% of the time or whatever, and so they put all of their efforts there, and then those smaller ones fall out of the wayside because like it won't be me biggest seller or whatever. So if we do find those companies that offer those diverse topics that we're interested in, promoting them, I think getting the information out so others who have that same ideal set can find them, and then supporting those artists or those creators, whether it be through a sticker set or an actual planner, which is kind of where we got off on it, talking about an actual holiday planner. And if there isn't something, or your particular slice of life is so unique, like, to be able then to just maybe use some craft paper and kind of create something that reflects you from scratch. And as a four, that excites me, because that is something that is so unique and celebratory into something that makes your experience more authentic to your craft supplies and to your planning game. So Whew, anyways, soapbox. Okay, man, I get into it. All right. Okay, where do you plan? Chrissy, let's get back to the questions. Where do you plan? What do you enjoy or not enjoy about this space?
So we just recently purchased our new home, and it is absolutely perfect, but it didn't have a space for all of my craft supplies. So my fiance built a craft room for me inside of our garage. We've got an air conditioner, it's got walls, it's got lights, I got all the stuff. And it's absolutely amazing. I love it so much. However, it's in my garage and separate from the rest of the house. So I actually do majority of my planning like on the sofa with a TV tray next to me and a big duffel bag of planning supplies, because it's not really conducive for mom life to be hanging out in the garage while my 3-year-old is doing, you know, somersaults off of a ceiling fan because a mommy wants to plan in her craft room. So I typically just plan wherever I can, whenever I can, and visit my craft room beyond bedtime or early mornings or, you know, when I can.
That is a first. I have never heard anyone that has a setup in their garage. Okay. Okay. I do want to see a picture. Will you post something on Instagram?
I totally will.
Maybe. Okay.
I totally will.
That's a very unique setup. So that's awesome. And thank you to your fiance for helping you prioritize what's important to you and giving you that space. That's really cool too.
It was really awesome of him. It really was.
Yeah. And we all need, and we all kind of know craft rooms are where supplies go to die anyways. We just kind of need we need them to live somewhere. And
right.
It's
ultimately
still home
storage.
Base.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah, it's home. It's home base. And, you know, it does help. So, okay, Pam, where do you plan and what do you enjoy or not enjoy about the space?
Right now, I have an office that is on our main floor that is just our third bedroom on the main floor. Our kids never slept apart, ever. And they each had their own bedroom. And I just said, enough, because they were only in one room. Why would I let them? Yeah. So I took over the third bedroom upstairs. I did have an office downstairs in the basement. It was just so hard to be down there when everyone is upstairs and living life and everything. And I spend so much time, because it's my job, like designing and cutting stickers and everything else. I wanted it all in a place where I can still interact with everybody, but have my space. And now, because of Corona, we have our kids staying home with us during the day. They do virtual online school, and now they're in the office with me. So my craft area has shrunk, and I had to get rid of all sorts of stuff and downsize. And yeah.
What did you downsize? And
I just got rid of a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. I mean, it's no big deal. In all honesty, there was so much in there that I didn't use. So I recycled it, or I sent it to like the donation pile. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it's all good.
You don't even need a host, because the next question is, what do you do with your items you no longer need or want?
Oh, yeah. They
how
leave
are
my
you,
house.
How, yeah. Or I come begging for scraps. Like, can I have all your oopsies for like a dollar?
You sure can. Well, I usually bring all of the oops stuff to the meetups that we have.
I know. And then I hog it. And then we don't have meetups anymore. So I'm like, I'd rather... Oh, okay. So do you have a favorite item or piece of furniture in your area that store or display your items?
So in the bedroom that I'm in for my office, there's like a little cubby area next to the closet. And I think the previous owners had like a hanging chair in there for one of their daughters. It's a really cute little cubby area. And that is now like a desk area. That's where... I have my cutters and stuff. We took some IKEA desktops and cut them in half and made them into shelves. that fit perfectly in that cubby. And I think that's my favorite part because it all fits so perfectly. And then up top I have like flowers and planners, and then the bottom few shelves are cutters. So it's pretty and functional.
It does look pretty built in. Like it looks like a built in kind
of.
Yeah. I didn't know those are IKEA countertops. That's cool.
Yep. They're the desktops that you can like buy separate legs for.
Oh yeah, desktop.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're hollow, but if you cut them in half, they still work. Like there's something in it that holds it apart, the two layers.
Well, and you're a really handy household too.
My husband is super handy.
Yeah, he is.
It comes in handy.
Yeah, I'm like, it sounded a little creepy. I'm like, yeah, he is. Like, what? Oh, gosh.
Well, if there's a man that'll make you kitchen cabinets, it's something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, look at, okay, so Pam's man, okay, I don't know how you want to qualify him. Your partner in life.
My husband. That's cool.
Your man.
Yep.
Your partner in life made you a kitchen and built-in craft supply shelves, and Chrissy has, like, a whole addition in her garage. So it's nice, and both of those things are customized and, you know, not part of the previous owner's vision and something that suits just you, so that's pretty cool.
It was really funny when we were building the craft room in the garage because we were brand new to this neighborhood and everybody was walking by trying to figure out what in the heck we were building in our garage. I mean, it was absolutely insane. Like people would just be walking and all of a sudden all this foot traffic was building up around the house because what are they building in their garage? It just looked insane. We have a completely framed in room and an open garage. Like
yes, exactly. We watch so much true crime and podcasts and all that. You're like, so is that like an extra little jail cell?
Oh my goodness. The ideas that people had were insane. Like, people had all kinds of speculations about what I was doing in there. Like, I've actually had to take a couple of neighbors on a tour. No, it's a craft room. No, not a crack room. Craft. C-R-A-F-T. No. And then they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, no. Come look at all my stickers. Look at my planner.
I was going to say, or maybe like a prepper, you know, like they just have like a whole food pantry. But like now all the preppers are like, haha, I told you.
Yeah, 2021 is like 2020. It is going to be a prep room.
But what do you do with the items that you no longer need or want?
I'm a hoarder, not like in the scary sense of hoarding, but I'm very practical. And I know that my mind is always changing and I may want that in a couple of weeks, or it may have a use. So I have adopted a new system that I reevaluate everything that I get every 6 months and really look at it and say, am I going to use this? And then no, if I can't rehome it, I just trash it. I try to keep it all for extended periods of time. But then, like you said, craft rooms just become a place for things to die. And I just look at all the money spent. And I think that's what I struggle with most is, oh my goodness, we spent so much money on this, but I'm not using it. I'm going to figure out how to use it. I will somehow or another. And then when I don't, I either have a friend who is new to the crafting community or planning community and they need some things. I'm like, here's a box full of stuff. Go be merry.
Oh, fantastic. So you're generous in that way. Thank you for passing it forward. And I mean, basically like, getting someone else hooked into this community. So it's a different kind of crack room. It's like once you start on a planner, it's hard to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's go on to what factors do you consider when shopping for a planner? Chrissy, you've mentioned some of your factors, like if it's a planner.
Does it have paper? Does it have dates? Oh, well, not even dates, because I like undated too. Like,
yeah, exactly. So
basically,
it's pretty
paper?
Broad.
Yeah,
it's pretty broad. Yeah. But once you get an item, what do you need a planner to do for you?
I think that the most intriguing thing about my new found love for planning because, you know, when I was employed in a traditional sense, you clearly had to plan for your life. But my life has changed so dramatically with being a stay-at-home mom that I've actually started using my planners as a reference guide for me to look and see value in the things that I do. You know, I don't get awards or promotions or raises or, you know, my partner's very good about, you know, thank you so much, or you're doing such a great job, but it's still not the same type of, affirmation from being in a traditional work sense. And so I always look at, I put very mundane things that people look at my planner and like, okay, you talked about this, but for me, I can look back and see, you know what, my days are full because I did this, 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 and this, and I also did this, and my days just kind of seem to run together, you know, between chores and ABCs and sight words. And at the end of the day, it's easy to feel like you've gotten nothing accomplished. So I can look back at my planners and say, you know what, on Monday, I did a crap ton of stuff. And man, look at that. Look at all those check marks. It gives me a sense of not value or worth, but kind of value and worth in my position as a stay-at-home mom.
Can I throw a word that may help quantify it? What would you think of the word significance?
Yes. Yes. 100%. 100%.
That was very well said, Chrissy.
Oh, thank you.
I like how you said a reference guide. Like, I'm okay. I'm signing up. When's your course? Like, I like that. All right. So, Pam. What factors do you consider when shopping for a planner, and what do you need a planner to do for you?
Well, when I'm shopping for a planner, as we already said, it just needs to make me feel something. So if it looks pretty, if I feel like maybe I could do something with it, I will very easily purchase one. I have an A5 Cloud that I thought was, and it is, the... like, it's beautiful. And I used it for 1 week, one solid week. And I bought all the inserts and everything. It didn't do it for me.
Pam's saying, I think I lasted 2 weeks in it. And I was just like, I want to love you so much, but I just don't.
Yeah. The Aura Stell?
Yes.
It's squishy and smooth and whatever. I've only held one.
Big.
My cousin Caitlin had one.
It's big.
Yeah. By the time you have it goes over the rings, it really kind of extends it a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ugh. I felt like I needed more in it, almost like it felt kind of hollow because I didn't have, I had a, I don't know, 6 months of inserts in it, but it just felt kind of floppy, and I didn't give it enough of a chance, and I totally understand that. Like, I should have done dashboards and put in all the clips and everything else, but I didn't. Probably because I don't know. It's summer of it was summer of 2020, and I really didn't need to be that involved in it, I guess. But yeah, so once I get a planner, though, I need it to, I like to have a monthly and a weekly and a daily, but they don't all have to be in the same planner. And I would actually rather they be the monthly and the weekly I want together, but I want a separate daily that I don't feel like I need to use every day, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Just pull it out whenever.
Is the simplified one that you use undated? It's dated though, right?
It's dated. Yep.
See, I feel like that's so hard as a daily, because then you're like, okay, I didn't use a daily for the last 2 weeks. Flip, 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 flip. And then you find your date.
I feel like, you know what I mean? I use it more than that. Like, I'll use it probably 4 days a week.
Oh, that's quite a bit.
Right. So that, and I always write down like dentist appointments or whatever we have going on in the daily too. So I don't have a ton of blank pages in it. And I don't feel like I'm over feeling bad about not using it.
Sure, sure.
I bought it. Okay. Well, if I use it 60% of the time, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like even twice a week. You know, I guess everyone has their own criteria. If they use it once a year, maybe that's all it or all they need out of it.
Right.
Or they just took a picture with it one time. That's all they need out of it. Or they just want something for their shelf. Like, there's so many different varieties of reasons people would want something. So you, what you're saying is you've found a day-to-daily to be useful for you, even if you don't have to use it every day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else?
And then with my weekly, I really like to have space for all the stickers because I love the laying down of the stickers, man. There is something about it. It's so calming. So
yeah,
if I have a space, the right space for that, then we're in business.
What do your monthlies look like? Are they like just pen? Not just, but you know what I mean.
For the most part, yes. I was doing like monthly kits every month and everything, but I don't use them enough for that. I just want like a quick monthly overview to see what is coming up.
Mm-hmm. I used your weekly, the lemon and honey weekly kits, you know, has, I don't know what you call it because I don't ever really get it from the website. it's like the thick washi.
The bottom washi?
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. I use the bottom washi from like a certain weekly kit or whatever. And then if I like it, then I'll just put that as my monthly, like across the top.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I decorate my monthlies with your weekly things. But okay, so I'm mentioning this because I'm thinking I'll insert my little foreness. Like, okay, so I love your kits, but I don't think I have ever used one of your kits the way you're, like, quote unquote, supposed to. Like, I'm always like, oh, well, I took this scallop from last October and I did this one over here and I customized it to over, like, I used one whole kit over the last 6 weeks. You know what I mean? I love putting my own spin on it, even though it's something that, you know, is quote unquote mass produced or like, you know, in quantity.
Yeah.
So that's fun to do too. Even though it's a kit, you can still make it unique.
Oh, absolutely.
I definitely do that. Like, I'm in inserts, but my inserts aren't full vertical columns. I use Jessenio printables and they're like half columns, but I'm still using, 1.5 kits. like it's a vertical spread and like mm-hmm. everybody else's, but the spreads in my A5 don't look anything like, I guess, what the norm is for sticker kitters or mm-hmm. stickering with kits. It's, mm-hmm. and I tend to have a lot of leftovers and I save them and use them for another spread or like there's never anything that's just, I don't know how to take the kit that's presented to me and say, here, make this. I don't, but no.
mm-hmm. I'm with you, Chrissy. That's exactly like if there's a glitter header left on a kit page, I was like, oh, that's a pretty blue. I'll just go stick it over there.
Yep.
Onto like a keeping page. Like who saves one glitter header? But to me, they're like tools. It's like my palette. These are my, it's like medium, like media in art. Like, oh, I'm going to grab a little of this and a little of that. And oh, I'll use that blue header over here in this, you know, winter critter kit because it's snowing out or whatever. And I'll just do a little thing there. So that's why I always have joked for years that I'm the bottom feeder in the ecosystem of Planner D Stash. Because people have like two things. They're like, this is trash. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a future masterpiece. I'm like, I love recycled materials. Give them all to me. So anyways, so funny. Before we jump into the romantic individualist portion of today's show, a quick word from my sponsors. All right, we are back and ready to dig into the Enneagram portion of this mashup. How does the desire to be unique, special, and authentic reveal itself in your life or like maybe how it comes up in your planning lifestyle as well?
The whole creative process takes forever because I want it to be unique and I want to try to do something different. But I also, like, I have a perfectionist streak in me also, so I need it to be perfect. And I think maybe that's, like, I'm very close. When I took the Enneagram test, I was very close to one, but I was a four overall. Mm-hmm. And in health, fours go to one.
Correct.
So that makes sense. So spreads take forever. Designing when I design for my shop takes forever because I want everything to be unique, but I also want everything to be perfect. It's a thing.
It's special. It's special.
Right. It is. It's special. We're all special. In life, I like to try new things, and I like to stand out a little bit. Not too much. Not to the point where I will be judged harshly.
Yes.
Because that's also important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I want to stand out, just not too much. I just want to be noticed. And mm-hmm. a lot of the time, like in social situations, I won't put myself like front and center and expect to be noticed in that way. I kind of hold back and wait for people to approach me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it's part of your life. It doesn't need to make sense.
Well,
it's you.
Well, no, you're clear. Exact same sentiment. It's like, I want to be stand out in the crowd. However, I'm not going to go over the river and through the woods to do it. And I'm also not going to incite it. But
yeah,
once they start talking to me, then it's my time to shine.
Right. And I love like authenticity in groups of people. Like I want, let's open all the doors and let out all the secrets. Like I'm here for that. I want to know your darkness and I want to know your light. Like,
yes.
And I will reveal all of myself to you. Cause I love that. I love deep conversations and really like getting to know people.
You are unique and special and authentic. So however you are doing it, you're showing it. So that's cool. How hard is it for you, Pam, for the unique side for designing when you are trying to find like art? You know what I mean? Like that's kind of a thing anyway, you know, let alone for a four. So like, how do you?
It is a thing. I have a list of like all the ideas that I want to do, and I search for art. And I think the process of searching and choosing art is almost more time consuming than designing. Hmm. Because I look for things that other shops don't use, or I look for things that I can use in a different way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You put your own spin on it too.
I
like
try.
A little dotted line. You know, you're really known for the dotted line.
I or love for the dotted
scallops,
line.
Not, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I try to make my kits in a way that they can be, you know, changed and used in different ways too. Like I want people to be able to be super creative and do their own thing, but I also want to make it simple enough that if people just want to put stickers down in a nice straight mm-hmm. line, they can do that too.
Yeah, and week after week, you know, like,
yep,
wait,
same thing.
I needed 8 headers or whatever it is because yep. this is where my lunch goes or whatever. Yeah, exactly. All right, how about you, Chrissy? You said that really resonated in you as far as like how you kind of want to be seen or draw attention. But how else does the desire to be unique, special, and authentic reveal itself in your life?
It's fair to say that ever since I was a small child, I have marched to the beat of my own drum. And I've always known the path, you know, parentheses on the. And mm-hmm. I always chose to go a different route just because in retrospect, I feel like I was always trying to do something that wasn't the societal norm so that I would be noticed. And mm-hmm. I don't think that it was and I don't really think that it's a conscientious, okay, well, this is what everybody's doing, so I'm going to go over here. I don't think that I set out to do it, but something inherent in me just says, nope, that's not the way I'm going to do it. I mean, And so many things in my life are a reflection of that. I spent so much of my late 20s and early 30s trying to fit into a mold of what I thought was supposed to be, and was just miserable because I wasn't being myself, because I was kind of downplaying all of the things that make me, or I like to say great, because I was trying to go on that path that just doesn't work for me. It's really interesting because it's so hard to be unique or special in this community, especially in a position that I'm in. Like, you know, I'm not a creator or anything. I'm just like a fangirl of stationary goods and paper and pens. And I just want to love everybody's stuff and share the news and share all the goodness with everybody.
Why do you think it is hard to be authentic in this community? You had mentioned, you know, especially in this community. Is it because the sway of popular opinion? Is it because of the cancel culture? Is it just because of if you have such and such product, you get more likes? Or like, what have you kind of quantified as it being difficult to be authentic?
Because it is a undercover popularity contest, we all pretend like it's not, but it is. And with it being that popularity contest, I don't think that anybody's authenticity and uniqueness is necessarily seen unless they are one of those big accounts or, you know, whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will challenge you for that, Chrissy, because nice way. I'm thinking because I have a small following, and I think so if you literally have zero followers, right?
Right.
Like literally zero, I would totally agree. But like how many is enough to say, oh, I'm seen? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept because I mean I've had like Stephanie Fleming on the show. Like how many numbers does it take for her to feel seen?
Right.
How many does it take for me? Like, does it matter? What if I feel really good about 100?
Right.
Or one? Or like, it's a very personal thing. And it's like, but I see what you mean. To really gain traction and grow a social media following, I think is maybe more what you were talking about. But like, let's say you have 300 really committed followers or even half of that. Like, I have, I don't know, 1,700 followers. I usually engage with about 120. Okay. I mean, and not like daily, but like, right. That's kind of the amount that will flip through my stories, you know, and of that, maybe I talk to like, I don't know, 10 to 15 people. When you really start thinking about it, what would happen if I had 10 times that amount? So let's say I had 17,000, right?
Right.
Right. But, you know, would that make me happy? Would that fill my goal? I don't know. It's just a weird...
I understand what you're saying because there is so much stress in this community about followers, likes, engagement, reach, whatever. I mean, I'm saying that, but I definitely don't come from a place of looking for followers or anything because I'm not really promoting anything or selling anything. I just want to be in the group not necessarily the cool kids group. I went to the Sunshine State Planners convention prior to COVID, right? And I was very, very new into the community. And it was so much fun-ish. And everybody had a good time. But I saw all of these people having such a great time, and such relationships. And I was on the outside. And it was very uncomfortable for me because I didn't really know anybody. And it was very, oh, I know this person, I know that person. And I came home and I was like, okay, well, that was fun. And my mom says, well, will you do it again? And I says, I don't know. I was just really uncomfortable. I don't know anybody. But then I started thinking about it and I really started posting things on my Instagram and really sharing spreads after that, because I realized that if I want to go to conventions and be a part of this community, I can't be looking from the outside and be complaining that I'm looking at it from the outside.
Yep.
So whereas my account isn't based on how many followers or reach or anything, I am more interested in, you know, the fact that I reached out to Cynthia today. Like that's what I'm looking for in this community, you know. I'm at home with a 3-year-old and my former life isn't my life anymore. And these people are my people. And the only way that I can actively be a part of it is if I'm active in it. Does that make
sense?
Absolutely.
Yep. That actually really cleared up a lot for me, even just personally, because I'm thinking, because I'm with you. Like, on one hand, I would love to have 10,000 subscribers and can say, listen to the episode, swipe up.
Right.
Like, I don't know what. I just, it's not like all of a sudden my retirement fund's going to come from the sky. Like, no, it's not. It's my, you know, I'm not going to, my life isn't going to be that drastically different. But I do kind of want that, that affirmation that what I did was significant, or I grew, or there is some of that pressure out there. But also that authentic stuff that you were talking about earlier, that's what I get to do on this show.
Right.
That's what I do. And Pam, you can attest to that. This is what I do at planner meetups.
Yes, it is.
And I get to do that with 1,700 followers.
Right.
Like, I can define my idea of success. And that is kind of a mindset shift that was really important for me to pivot on even before season 3 started, just this past late summer here. Just like, why am I so hungry for other people's numbers? If I can go to a meetup and smile and make someone feel welcome, or meet a new friend, or make a new friend, or I don't know, just connect in a real and authentic way, I would rather go into a room of 5,000 people and be really like, and know and be nice and authentic with an entire table of people, then have all 5,000 of those people recognize me.
Right.
That is such a four thing.
It's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, not to knock the swipe up, because who doesn't want the access to
Let's have a swipe up party. All three of us would be like, all right, I'll swipe up on you. You swipe up on me.
It's just, it's such a handy feature. And it's kind of ridiculous that Instagram has pitted our accounts against this imaginary claim to fame so that we can share information. It really puts a bee in my bonnet. Like, so I don't have 10K. So that means my swipe up to go register to vote doesn't matter. Like, come on. That's crazy.
I don't even have music on my account. I'm like, I've been posting planner Instagram or Enneagram. Wow. No, I've been posting planner on a planner account since December 2015. And I still do not have music. Like, why? Why do I not have music on my stories?
Do you have a business account, Jess?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Do I have to pay for it?
No, you don't have to pay for it. I think it's just hidden. There were a couple accounts that figured it out a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I want to say
Beth figure it out, because she was talking about it too.
Yes. I think Beth figured it out. So I would check in with her.
Okay, yeah, I'll reach out to her.
Yeah.
And also ask her about her Christmas B6. Okay, right. I'm paying attention. I took notes.
Just go ahead and order that.
Notes. Just go ahead. Don't even look at this.
No.
Leave some breadcrumbs for our holiday planner, too.
So could you start it 2 weeks
earlier?
Yeah, we
need a holiday daily.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, December daily, I think, is trademarked by Allie Edwards. So we'd have to be like November and December daily.
Right.
November and a half and December daily. Anyways, yeah, so I will reach out about that and get back to the question of how the authenticity reveals itself in our lives. And I think we really spoke to how we can see that playing out in the planner community as well. So let's go on to more of the fear. Yay! I was like, if anyone's going to talk about this with me, it's the fours.
Yep.
Everyone else is like, run! I mean, no one loves fear, right? Or do we? I don't know. What are roller coasters? You know, we all have fear in some way or another. How does the fear of being mundane, plain, or insignificant affect you? Pam, do you want to take this one first?
I think it all goes back to, like, being seen. If I am mundane, if I'm just regular, if I'm not special, I don't – like, it – it makes me anxious a little bit. I'm sitting here rubbing my chest like, oh, but I am special. like, it's a thing. If I'm just mundane or ordinary or plain, people won't even bother to look my way. That's how I feel. Like, I have to stand out in order to get any sort of attention. I was also a first child.
Oh, me too.
So I think that has something to do
me
with
too.
It.
Me too.
Yep.
No way.
Totally.
Yes. Well, I'm an only, so it's even more compounded because that's all the attention.
And it's just first child syndrome, because there's middle child syndrome for sure. And there's baby syndrome. So I think this is
You said for sure a bunch of times. Let me join in. For sure.
Good job.
No one gets that. I was like, what?
Jess is working on speaking. She's learning to say for.
I know you listeners are like, heard me say for sure a lot. So for sure.
For sure.
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness. Okay. So, Chrissy, does this apply to you as well, as far as maybe more than just the sibling kind of arrangement, or do you have a fear of being mundane, plain, or insignificant? How does that play out for you?
Deep-seated fear of being mundane, plain, or insignificant. I don't know where it came from. It's always just been a part of who I am. And I mentioned it earlier, I'm like all or nothing. There is really very little gray room for me. And I just jump in feet first. I will figure it out later. And I think that I do that because I'm always kind of looking for something that's going to instill in me that I'm not just boring, I'm not mundane, like there is something interesting about me. So I think that I just, you know, I have a ton of tattoos. I mean, I started getting tattooed when I was like younger, and I did it because I wanted to stand out. Like, I was only 17 year old with a freaking tattoo in 1998. Mm-hmm. So, and I just feel like I do a lot of different things that are true to me, but they help me not feel like everyone else.
We do like to kind of try this or try that and, you know, make it our own. But some of this being special, being unique, being authentic, being afraid of being plain or mundane has helped me with planner purchases that I don't need or want. Because I'm like, if the whole crowd, if everybody is getting that same stupid thing, like, I mean, not stupid, but yeah, it's stupid. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, or like, it's only stupid because you've seen it so much and it's so offensive to your eyes. Like, ugh, I couldn't possibly be that. But it's like our own set of rules, because on the other hand, oh no, I want a Razcog cart. And oh no, I want mild liners. And oh no, I want, you know, XYZ, whatever it is to you. You'll totally fall in line like real quick. But if there's something else that's some reason that's really important to you, to just say no to that, like, oh no, I'm never going to get a Hobonichi Weeks. Like, everyone's doing that right now, you know, like last year or whatever. So that's helped me. I don't know about you guys.
Well, it's funny because, like, I have complete FOMO. I'm like the queen of FOMO. So I got a cloud. Not that the cloud is stupid, but I got a cloud because, duh, everybody else was getting cloud. Clearly, I need one. So I got it, and I'm like, this thing is massive. And then I'm scrolling, and I don't want just another cloud picture. So out of the cloud I went, and it's very, very pretty on my shelf. I mean,
it is pretty on a shelf.
It's very pretty on a shelf. Yeah. And it's great for photos. If you're staging something, it's very pretty. But I know that part of my move out of it, because I don't go anywhere, so a big, massive planner isn't the end of the days for me. But I just kind of was like, everybody has one. Why do I need this now? So
maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's why I left it behind.
Moved out too, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just like another release comes out and we just see cloud. I mean, or any, like,
anything, right?
I feel like Tiki's going to be listening to this and be like,
I know, we're like, I'm not hating that.
That is not the case. That is
gonna
not
get
the case.
A cease and desist letter. Please stop talking about
her. Right.
I'm like, sorry.
I'm so sorry. That is not the intent at all. I love it.
No.
It's a beautiful planner, but we do that. And I feel like, as much as I love this Printpression V6, and I encourage everybody to go out and get it because it's absolutely amazing. But if I scroll on my timeline and everything, or my feed, and everything is all of a sudden that exact same planner, something will make me move out of it. It won't be a conscious, like, oh, everybody has it. But sooner or later, it'll do something to me that says, all right, so why don't we try?
So maybe that's where the trying comes from. It's just like that thirst that I was talking about before, like not necessarily like, oh, I have such a lacking life and I'm missing something, so I need to try this. But there is a little spice, a little seasoning of, if I try this, then I'll be satisfied. Or
yep,
I must be missing something that's the person who has that item has. So if I get it, I will also have that missing thing.
I think there's something to be said about how if everything feels on an even keel as a four, you kind of want to rock the boat a little bit. Just a little, not anything crazy, but just a little rocking of the boat. Try something new.
Well, I wonder how many fours end up with custom everything. Do you know what I mean? Or eventually custom covers, or they do. I'm just thinking, how many fours went to Erin Condren and got layers or concentric circles or the mid-century circles or whatever the heck, petals, you know, whatever, like the thing, the whole print was for the year, you know, back in the last 5 years. If fours were like, no, because those were... That's the whole, like, the banner image, the banner pattern. It's everywhere. It's on the notebook cover. It's on the sticker packaging. It's just literally everywhere. If they were just like, oh, no, I can't get that. I have to get a custom cover. I would never fall in line with that, well, even if it's pretty. You know what I mean?
I think that's part of the whole stickering up your planner thing, too, because you use the whiteout. You get rid of the mid-century circles or the petals or whatever, you cover all that up.
That hexagon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh, that hexagon, man. Hexagon. That was bad.
She seems to have ruined a hexagon for everybody.
It's my least favorite shape.
I literally skip that shape when I'm doing it with my kid. I'm like, the teachers will handle that one. I can't even deal with the hexagon. I think I threw that flashcard out.
Chrissy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of our feelings, shall we?
Oh, yay!
Yay! Okay, what have you contributed to your life by being sensitive, articulate, and inspiring? Because you all are those things. I know you are. Anyone want to take this one first?
Chrissy?
Is there a time?
Me and Pam are like cross-country rock, paper, scissoring. I'll go. I think that by being sensitive has made me so incredibly empathetic, because I genuinely feel things on such a heightened level that it in turn has been made me far more sensitive to different people's ideas or thoughts, feelings, or whatever, just because of that empathy that I genuinely feel for anybody. I'm always like, oh man, this person's such a horrible person, but I have that thing in me that says, but let's look at it from the other side. I'm always like devil's advocate as to, well, there's a different perspective and let's try to explore that perspective so that we can get to a better understanding. Communication is such a thing for me. And I think that it comes from that sensitivity, because I'm so sensitive. I need all of the words, and I need complete listening. Otherwise, it just becomes, what's the point? And I think that sensitivity is definitely a leading factor in those feelings.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for being in the world, Chrissy. We need more empathy, right? I mean, really, and that open communication and listening both ways. That's great. How about inspiring? You're inspiring.
I think that it's hard to quantify your own inspiration. Like, what I may think is an inspiring factor about who I am, people may just roll their eyes and say, okay, well... You think that, but they're actually inspired by something else. I think that the most inspiring thing about me is my empathy and my don't give up. Like, when I dig my heels into something, they're dug in and there's no changing that course that I'm currently heading on. And I think maybe some people may find that aspiring. Other people find it terrifying.
Perseverance. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's so hard to say what about me inspires others. So if anybody's listening to this and I inspire you, let me know.
Yes, please
I'll make a list. So next time somebody asks me how I inspire people, I'll have a cheat sheet.
Or you can go up to someone and be like, excuse me, do you need inspiration? I have I have these three things I can do for you.
Right. These are the inspiration services I'm offering.
Hey, man, package that up. Get a membership site going. Oh, goodness. How about you, Pam? How has being sensitive and articulate and inspiring worked itself into your life?
I kind of feel the same about the whole inspiration thing. I don't find myself overly inspirational. I don't, and I'm not really sure anyone, I don't know. I don't think anyone else does either. I've had people tell me, you know, the way that I moved away after college. I moved all the way to Arizona, didn't know a soul, and that was inspiring to them. But I'm like, I just needed a job. Like, so I did it. I don't think that's super inspirational. However, as like sensitivity, I can totally identify with. I cry always. Like, I don't think there's a day that I haven't cried over something. And crying isn't always a bad, I mean, we're melancholy fours. We love to feel.
We love
all
a good cry.
Oh gosh,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I bet you all three of us have a movie that we can put on just because it helps the tears go easier.
Yeah.
Oh, not even just a movie, like a song.
Oh yeah.
Or a trailer to a movie. Yes. Mm-hmm. A book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. I feel like, because I am sensitive and that leads to that empathy, that I am a really good friend. Mm. Like, if you are in the weeds and you need someone to come and walk beside you, I'm your girl. Like, I will sit Shiva. I will be there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have I actually have done that? Yeah.
And I won't come and try to take care of all the things and make everything better. I will come and I will be with you and I will feel all the things with you.
Chrissy, did you say you did sit with someone through
that? Yeah, I actually sat Shiva before because of a friend, for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. If you're my friend, it is like ride or die. Like, I am there for you and I don't want to tell you how to do anything. And I am the queen of sitting in silence. We can just sit.
Yes.
Let's just sit and you can sit and process. I'll fix you a glass, a cup of tea, and we can just sit and reflect in silence. And it's so cathartic.
It's so funny. Mm-hmm. When I was living in Arizona, my best friend is in Minnesota. We would call each other on the phone and just be with each other on the phone and not even talk. Yep. Like, we would just go through our daily life doing whatever on speakerphone, just in case. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not normal, but maybe it is
now.
For fours.
That's how kids that's how teens hang out now.
It is.
They'll just have their phone on. Well, it's not speaker. I mean, like, with whatever app they're using, or FaceTime or whatever. And then it's just up. They can be working on their homework or cleaning out a closet, but they'll just all be on video conference, not even necessarily saying anything. Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing.
Great.
Yeah. Just, who knows what it'll be by the time your kids are teens. So you got a few more years.
A few.
I like this concept of that it's hard to see our own inspirational aspects. To kind of piggyback on what you were saying previous to the sensitivity, just to kind of tie that up.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that is part of being a four, is not being able to really understand that, because we so much are looking yes, we can be introspective and be in touch with our emotions and be sensitive and do all of those things, but we're always kind of looking out as well, like to how others are inspiring, like, mm-hmm. oh, she actually did build an e-course, or she actually was the speaker at one of those conferences, or she actually potty trained her child in 2 days using the Japanese slip pants method. Like, whatever it is. Like, she, you know, whatever kind of goal or aspirational activity that we look at, like, they have figured it out. What are they doing that I'm missing?
Yeah.
They are so inspirational. And it is, it's almost to the, to can be detrimental. I know, at least for myself. I mean, when you said that moved away, I moved away twice at a very young age, and then has since moved back. But, or I don't know, just take risks or educated risks. Or like you were saying, Chrissy, like when you're in, you're in. You just jump in with both feet and like, yes, I want this tattoo.
Nope.
Like you just know. That can be really inspiring for someone that is very cautious or really can't get outside of their comfort zone or whatever it is. And it's just, it's hard to see because that's just how we roll. That's just what you do. So you both inspire me. And I just really appreciate, I said like to Chrissy, thank you for being part of the world with your empathy. And Pam, thank you for being the sensitive soul that you are and the impact you have in your community. Like once you get back to the Y and your family too. So it's just really fantastic to be friends with you two awesome human beings. Which brings me to why you're so moody, elitist, and self-absorbed.
Gosh, being four is hard.
It's special.
I feel like we have really harsh words, too. Like, none of them are particularly flattering. So it's kind of like, man. Okay.
Yes. Let's review. Let's get on the positive side. Unique, special, authentic, sensitive, articulate, and inspiring. How is that? That's part of it.
I mean, I guess that's true, but like self-absorbed is like super loud and bold.
That's real bad. Yeah.
Okay. True.
And can we just skip this question?
You're so moody, Pam.
Oh, I know. Jeez.
But it's all about you and what questions you want. Fine.
No, let's go for it.
Okay. I don't know. Moody. I mean, we talked earlier about being kind of the melancholy soul, so that can kind of lend itself to a mood. Do you find yourselves being moody? Pam, you're saying you're
yes.
cry daily. Is there an opposite side to that? Do you also?
Oh, for sure. Swing? I mean, yeah, there's always the swing the other way, but mm-hmm. the moody, as far as like the melancholy, I have like dark days where I will just feel the melancholy. And I will, you know, keep the blinds closed and the candles lit and the soft music. And I will just, like, hunker down. And I love it.
Wallow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh. And especially, yeah. like, in the winter months when it's a little darker outside.
Mm-hmm. Steve.
Oh, grace guys. So good. So
Bring
good.
The grace, guys.
Yeah. So
it's interesting because when somebody witnesses us in those type of moods, you're like, man, can you just get it together? Why are you being like this? And unbeknownst to them, you're like, okay, but I'm living my best sad life over here.
Right.
So
yes.
Just let me feel the feelings and I'll be
yep.
back tomorrow. Like,
yep. And I'll disappear during those days too. I won't mm-hmm. post anything on social media. I'm not really great about texting people back or anything like
oh,
that either.
Word.
Suck back into myself and
yep.
feel all the feelings.
That Pam, I'm glad you pointed out some of those practical things and in the ways that show up. Because when you said that, even me, and I know I'm a four, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm not the only one because I feel like such a crap friend sometimes. I'm like, yeah. I don't know why. My heart is so pure. I mean, no.
Right.
Okay, self-absorbed. But no, like, I'm such a good person. I don't know why I'm doing. But do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to, like, diss them or, like, purposely be like, I don't want to talk to you. It's like, I don't know where my mind goes, but just it doesn't make it to the forefront of my actions.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm glad I'm. It's like a light bulb mm-hmm. just went off because I was looking at self-absorbed in such a negative connotation, but I completely know what you mean because I mm-hmm. will, like, I tell people I go ghost all the time because I just need to, I just can't people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that is, like, I look at self-absorbed as the words being not what the actual language, what the English language dictates, self-absorbed, like, in oneself. So I wasn't really looking at the self-absorbed that way because I do. I will fall off the face of the earth, and it has nothing to do with absolutely anybody. I just need to be in my place, and then I'll come back and life is gravy again. But in that time, there's just nothing. And it's not, for anyone who's listening, it's not necessarily like a depression or a...
No, just, not at all.
It's just a lot
maybe
of
it's...
And, introspection and thinking and feeling and just...
Yeah.
Pause.
Yes. So I posted something to my personal Facebook account today that says, I require low maintenance friends. You got to allow me to disappear into the black abyss of adult responsibility and antisocial anxiousness when then pop up in 6 months, like, what do you do on Friday?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay. That's me. So maybe that's, maybe how that reflects as self-absorbed, because during that time, we are not pouring into and seeking out and discovering what the needs are of others around us.
Right.
Yeah. So that definitely is a balance to watch if we're going out of health to be like, okay, how have I poured into the people around me lately? So
fours tend to live in the past. In like my research, I have learned this and I totally identify with that. Like always thinking back to their childhood or teen years or even college years as you get older and wondering like what could have been and what might have been different. So maybe this is just you thinking about your childhood and remembering that. And maybe that's why we have such a hard time letting things go as fours, because I know I have a couple big bins of baby clothes that are never going to get used again, but I can't seem to let them go.
I'm literally thinking about my son's bin of baby clothes that it's ridiculous. I need to get rid of them, but nope. And nor will I go into the bin to go see him because I'm not in that place. But if I need to cry next week, I will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I cried after every month. Like, you know how, like, clothes are, like, 3 to 6 months or whatever?
Yeah.
And, like, just tucking them away and getting the next ones, like, 6 to 9, I cried for sure.
That's funny.
That was the worst.
It is. And I remember doing it and Steven coming into the room. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you remember when he wore the sheep onesie? And he's like, yes, crazy lady, just put it away. Like, what is your problem? My God. And I'm like, but he was so cute. And I can find a picture. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So I just, now I outsource it. I have my sister come and she moves up. She just changes out all the old clothes for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would
be
so nice.
It would be.
And she just puts them in like one of those big Rubbermaid bins. So I don't, one day I'll go through it. And, you know, someday somebody's going to be pregnant and going to need baby clothes and in a situation where they can't necessarily get the things. And that would be the time that I go through it and say, okay, here, universe, take this stuff minus these 20 pieces because.
Right. Yeah, I have a bin, a Rubbermaid, like just tote for each. I have color coded kids. So I have their colors and picked like a favorite onesie and then any favorite handmade item. Like I had a woman in my life who was an excellent knitter and crocheter. And so they have these little cute, like a kimono sweater for like a 3-month-old. It's so cute. You know, and really when I... And they look through them too occasionally. And of course, a shoe. I keep shoes because their just feet are so tiny, right? And they're so cute. So it's just a little smattering of things. But they're really my memories. When you really think about it, I've been going through them and I'm like, they don't remember wearing this.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. It's like cute for them to be like, oh, cute, I wore that. And then like that is where it kind of ends. Or
they'll
go, or my girls. I have 3 girls. They'll go, aww. And then they go put Legos. You know? So we talked about a new definition of self-absorbed and how we can kind of see that actually coming true. I mean, we take ownership over this stuff. It's not that we should feel shame or that we're doing things wrong. It's just kind of identifying patterns in our life and using the Enneagram as a tool to know ourselves better and those around us. And for those around us to get to know us better too. You know, like you said, so you can tell your friends, I'm not actually super depressed.
Right.
I just really need to wear black and stare out at a window when it's raining. Like, don't you understand? Why don't you want to do this with me? Or I don't want to talk for another 2 months.
Which honestly has been so much easier in the age of the corona. I mean, how easy was it for us to isolate and shut down? Because like, it's hard sometimes, but for the most part, I have not been on the quarantine struggle bus because I'm like, this is great.
I know. And I'm a major extrovert. I don't know about you guys, but I'm an extrovert, which is where you get your energy, right? I get my energy from people, but I adjusted. I don't know. It is hard to talk yourself up. You're right. I'm like, I'm so great at being quarantined, guys. But like you said, you know what it was? I finally figured out. And tell me if you resonate with this, you too. When, especially right at first, okay, if you take away like the stress and actual legitimate concern of like world, global, and local political issues, right? Like, just with like the effects, right, of being home and how things got canceled and, you know, just things like that. On that level, that's where I'm operating right now in this story. I felt relieved. I felt at peace. I felt so good that I started to feel guilty and like, what the heck is wrong with me? I could not understand. And then I finally, especially as I was getting ready for this series, and one of the reasons I brought it up, I started getting this series together in July. So it was kind of after the main kind of lockdown, at least in this area. I didn't envy anyone. There was no one to envy. Everybody's life kind of just sucked. No one was traveling to Tahiti and showing me their, like, awesome, like, new whatever hat. And nobody, I mean, everything just sucked. And I was like, oh, I can sit in this. And no, by no means was I happy that people were struggling or essential workers were, you know, burning the candle at both ends and people were literally dying. That's why I tried to quantify which sphere I'm kind of talking in. And I think you're able to differentiate that, right? You know?
No, I clearly understand.
Just the actual lifestyle of things getting canceled.
Well, it kind of put everybody on an even playing field for the very first time. And like, at least in my life, I can't ever remember a time where literally everyone around you was doing nothing.
Pam, when I was saying that, you were like, yes. So did you feel relief too? Or
for sure. What was that for you? For sure. Having all my people at home has made me feel so secure. But can we talk about abandonment? Because that's like a core fear of the four. So I am constantly afraid that I will be abandoned. Now, clearly my 8-year-old isn't going to abandon me, but like having them all close has been wonderful for that. Maybe it's codependence. It probably is. But I feel good. And the slowing of the schedule, not having to be anywhere. I don't know what we're going to do when we actually have to be somewhere at a certain time. Because that has not been a thing for us yet.
Yeah, you'll adjust. And there's less traffic on the road unless like someone snaps their fingers and everything opens up at the exact same time, which obviously is not going to happen. But like my son, like Ryan, he got a job and he doesn't have his driver's license yet. So I've kind of had to tap in a little bit to his schedule and we do some carpooling with another coworker. But you adjust, you know, you just. And well, that's easy because that's just driving. You know, like, I don't have to do anything. Like, I don't have to. I can literally, like, just throw on my cardigan and glasses and just go out the door. Which I'm sure my son really appreciates when I pick up his coworker.
I'm sure.
Hi, I'm Ryan's mom. What are some ways you've used your imaginations, which is kind of funny for an adult to talk about. We don't always celebrate an adult with an imagination, right? It's unless maybe they're like, wow, you draw comics for a living or something. Like, I don't know. Like, have you ever complimented an adult? Like, you are so imaginative.
I think as an adult, the language kind of changes, and it's not really imagination anymore. It's more vision. So taking things that you want, like we're redoing our kitchen, like completely renovating it on our own. And we just kind of pulled ideas out of our brains and made it happen. That's kind of using an imagination, but as an adult, I'm not going to like make something out of Play-Doh. I make things out of wood now.
What? You're not going to talk to like an imaginary pirate and jump over your couch?
Nope. Probably not Pam! Today.
Pam, the floor is lava. Quick. Run. I kind of want to be. I was actually really, really good. That's one of my strengths. I was really good at playing with my children when they were young. And that's not necessarily a common trait. A lot of moms are like, go away, I don't want to play. That's why I bought you toys, or that's why I had a sibling, or let's do a play date. But I just, like, I remember thinking the floor was lava. Like, I remember the feeling of hitting my friend's couch with my feet. Like, I better make it! Jump! And part of that can also maybe lead to, like, a, I don't know, like a daydreamy narrative, or always picturing beauty in a scenario, or reinventing something. So that's kind of Pam speaking to you and reinventing and changing something aesthetically is very pleasing to you. How about you, Chrissy? How have you seen your vision or imagination, if you will?
For me, it's more so how I approach things than actually imagination. It's kind of like I march to a beat of my own drum, and I don't necessarily always follow a certain path. And I think that that's where my imagination kind of kicks in, because I can always envision something different, or a different place to be, or a different person that I want to be. But I also use I think imagination is a lot easier for me with a 3-year-old, because I see majority of life through the eyes of a 3-year-old.
Yeah, like, look, Mama, look at this bug, you know, or look at that leaf, or, you know, it's
all
those
little
things.
I mean, like, the other day, he unpeeled his crayons and handed me a blue one and had the red one. He says, Mom, it's Star Wars. And he goes, zoom, and initiated a lightsaber fight with me. And I saw it, and I was like, you know what? These are lightsabers. Let's go.
So sweet.
Imagination just shows itself in so many different ways in my life and adapting. I think that's probably the best way that I use my imagination is, okay, this is an obstacle, this is a hurdle, what are we going to do? And that's where it kind of kicks in as to alternate possibilities.
Well said, Chrissy. I think you're right. It is a great problem. Fours can be great problem solvers. There's just kind of this pushing of envelope of creation that can pour out of us. And to be told no, or we have to fit into a different type of mold, we can really push through a lot of adversity that way, whether that be like a major issue or even just a small hurdle. So,
right.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. All right, well, let's get to our final thoughts. One of my favorite parts of each show. What do you want people to know about fours that they might not know?
When we disappear and earn our feelings, it's not against the world or anybody specifically. We just need time to decompress and process, and then we snap back out of it. It's not a slight on the world or anybody in particular.
As a four, I would say I never feel good enough, because I always feel like there is something missing or that I'm doing everything wrong. So if you know a four, reassure them, show them kindness when they are self-deprecating and they absorb into themselves, maybe because of that. Or if they're moody, like, don't give them a hard time if they just want to be alone and cry for a little bit. Just reassure them and everything will be better in a day or two.
Next question. How can others best show love or kindness to a four?
I think that it's genuine listening is really important to fours because of our seeking.
Like seeking deep relationships.
Yes. Like,
yeah. Yes. So they need to be able to listen and really understand and see you.
Yes.
Chrissy, you feel loved when you are listened to and seen and heard. But yes. As someone listening to you, seeing you and hearing you, how would I show that? Like, is it I put my phone down and literally eyes on eyes? Do I give you feedback? Do I join in a project with you? Like, how do you actually?
I don't think that there's a way to physically show it. I think that it, for me, it really comes across as a feeling. I know when I'm speaking to someone or telling a story, whether they're listening or not. I mean,
okay.
Because what comes back out of their mouth is a clear indication of, are you just answering the prompts or are you really hearing and understanding what I'm trying to convey to you?
Mm-hmm. And maybe even like feeling those same emotions with you to an extent.
Right.
Like if they're really understanding what you're saying or what you're going through, then they're going to feel that a little bit too.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I personally feel very loved when I'm able to dream with someone. I mm-hmm. like almost like a sounding board, but not really for feedback and or any criticism. Like, yes, you just get a journal. I don't know. But like, I like to talk about things that are never going to happen. And a lot of people think that's a waste of time. I mean, seriously, like I could come up with an entire plan to remodel your kitchen, Pam, even though you just redid it. Like, let's pretend this type of person lives here. Then what would you do? And redo that in my head. Like, oh, well, let's move away from farmhouse chic or whatever. And let's say like, okay, well, we'd put all brass hardware and then we could do like a black, you know, whatever kind of et cetera, et cetera. But that's fruitless. I don't have a client who needs that information. You are not going to do that. You love what you did and you're not even done doing it, right?
Right.
But the whole process of picturing that out is fun for me.
Right.
Like, it's why though? Like, or trips. Like, I've planned trips I'm not taking. I don't know. I like to share them, but I don't know, because I can see those. I could see what would be fun or I could see what would be beautiful. Or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So anyways, mm-hmm. To be able to talk about those dreamy things, I need to have my closest people dream with me a little bit. And it can be very frustrating for people who are task-oriented because you're like, they're like, none of these things are action items. Like, none. Because it lives in your dream world. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Okay, last one. Why does the planner community need fours?
I feel like fours come up with a lot of good ideas because we are so imaginative and we are trying to do things in a new, unique way that we end up coming up with new stuff. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a four is going to come up with the new cloud or the new Hobonichi or the new sticker kit.
Holiday planner.
See, we already did it. Mm-hmm. Boom. Mm-hmm. That's done. Let's write it on our to-do list and then we can check it off.
Mm-hmm. Or we can forget about it and not talk to each other for 3 months and then be like, we should have done that. That was such a good idea. you know what I mean.
We okay, oh, wings that. Quickly. That was such a good idea. Are you guys a wing 3 or a wing 5?
I'm a 5.
Okay.
Are you a 5, Pam? Because you said you wanted to read. I always think of readers as 5s.
See, I have a hard time figuring it out. Jessica, I feel like you're a wing 3.
I think I have to be.
I think so, too.
Because I'm like, hear my voice. Here I am. Right. Let me accomplish this. But yes. I don't know.
Yes. You're a 3. Yeah. You're a wing 3. For sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was thinking, can extroverts be 5s? I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah, most likely not. Maybe. Pete thinks I'm a 3 too, and you think I'm a 3. So probably am. I haven't really dug that deeply. I'm just going to roll with it. Well, that wraps up the show. Thank you so much to my fours, Pam and Chrissy. It's been a joy to have you on the show. And thank you for sharing your stories and coming on.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun.
It was a really good time.
Oh, thanks. And I know that my audience is going to love it. You gave some great examples that we can really get to know and feel in our bones.
Oh, all the feelings.
Is really like. So thanks. Bye.
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 Hey, listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I wanted to let you know that if you're listening to this in real time, which is the broadcast weekend, which is Friday, September 25th, 2020, and then through Sunday, you are still able to get in on the sale that Pam mentioned from her etchy shop, Lemon and Honey Studio. She is turning 40, so happy, happy birthday, Pam. And to celebrate, she's putting 40% off. That's right, 40. She's turning 40. It's a big deal, the big 4-0. This will be the biggest sale of the year, which will beat Black Friday for Lemon and Honey Studio. She does have Christmas up already as well. This is a great time to try her shop if you've never tried it before. I love her custom scripts as well as her scallop headers. That's it for now, but I'll be back next week with the Enneagram Planner Mashup Series, The Fives. You'll be hearing from Stacy Scraps Plans Creates from IG, which is Stacy, and Brenna Soda, who is also part of the leadership team at the True North Trio, which is a planner event.